greatest band in the whole wide world with possibly one of the worst ever Christmas songs. That is, of course, Squeeze and Christmas Day. I rushed down to Happy Days in 1979 and bought that because it was being advertised in a magazine called Smash Hits. You've got to be careful how you say that. And, yeah, it was on white vinyl, and I've still got it. And I'm going to ask an expert from AAA Records, who joins us now in the shape of Hair Bear, is that worth anything now?
Is that a serious question? That I'd forgotten how bad that one was.
Yeah,
the lyrics. There's a couple of bits where you suddenly think, oh, it's getting better about halfway through.
and then it ends.
No, it carries on.
It's not the other side. It was great. A song called Go On.
Oh, no.
We did B-sides about a month ago, didn't we?
We did, and I think you asked me this one even then. Yeah, that wasn't great. The Squabs on 40 Fab,
no,
was it?
No, that was Labour with Love. No, on the B-side of Christmas Day, which kind of, you know, they should have flipped it over. It was called Going Crazy. It was their attempt at disco.
Which was hopefully better than their attempt at Christmas.
It was. But so you reckon it's not worth anything then?
I'd be surprised. I've never actually seen a copy. I don't really want a copy. I was going to start by saying, what are the best Christmas songs ever? But the worst, and the other really bad one from a big artist who should know better, I think, is the Queen one. Thank God It's Christmas.
Yeah.
You sort of think when it's played, thank God it's over.
Yeah.
But that's it never gets on the... No, those are two that never get on the compilations.
No. It's really strange that, because that only came about after his death, didn't it?
No, that was 85. That's when they were the...
Well,
biggest.
Thank God It's Christmas.
Yeah.
It came out in about 1992.
It might have come out again, but it was originally released when they were in their 80s majesty, if you can say.
Didn't
that,
get anywhere then, did it?
No, but it's because sometimes these songs, they come out and they fail, and then they come back later.
Right.
But that one just sank without trace.
Because
the other one that did come back, the other one did come back, Elton John, Step Into Christmas, because that flopped. It was didn't even get into the top 20 when it was released. And then, a few years ago, maybe that's the Gavin and Stacey thing.
But it's weird, isn't it, how that happens. And I know that, you know, when you think that wasn't a hit. I mean, we'll check that out in a minute and see how far it actually got in the charts. I don't remember it being in the charts when it was, you know, the first time around. But obviously since then, his popularity's got better, isn't it? So I mean,
he's done quite well as young Elton.
Yes.
Play a bit, sing a bit.
Yeah. But yeah, Christmas.
Apparently, it's got a very good B-side as well. Who'd Be a Turkey at Christmas? So I quite would like to find a copy of that.
I would too. And I would have. I remember when people used to get vouchers, and you know, you'd get record vouchers, and I know that. There was used to be a place called Teague's in the town.
Oh yeah,
and we used to get a voucher for, and I went in there and bought. I think it would have been the Elton John song that you mentioned, not that one.
Step Into Christmas.
It was another one. I can't remember that. The other side was One Day at a Time, not to be mistaken for the Lena Martel hideous track.
I bet you did buy that one though, didn't you? I bet you did.
I bought that and a Goodies 7-inch single, and it was a double A side. It was at Christmas time, obviously.
That's one of two. There are two awful good. No, one's quite good and one's not quite so good.
Oh, go on.
Well, there's and I hope you bought the good one. The bad one was Make a Daft Noise for Christmas.
Oh, I've forgotten about that.
I think a lot of people... Funnily, that doesn't get on the compilations either.
No, it's strange. No, this is, this little one that we're going to... Well, we might save it. We might save it. But on one side, it was The In-Betweeners.
Mm.
No one can remember that. But Father Christmas, Do Not Touch Me, that was... That was the one. I mean, we used to sing that all the time, me and my brother. Father Christmas, do not touch me. And
It was on a silver label, if I remember rightly.
Bradley's Records.
And it had a heart on it.
Oh.
So I was trying
Before we get into the bad ones, what about good ones? Because you played one of my absolute favourites to start the show, Wombling Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah, well, I'd forgotten about that. We skipped over that.
And you shouldn't, because you went and ruined it by playing Squeeze afterwards. But, but top three Christmas singles, and that's one of my three, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard you down as a Womble fan.
Oh, they were lovely.
I mean, we used to watch the little TV programme that was on for about 5 minutes.
Oh, no, that's Paddington, isn't it?
Moving on. Uncle Bulgaria. Do you know what? I'll tell you what is a fascinating
Nurse.
Listen, and
Sorry.
That is the guy that was behind the Wombles.
Michael Bond, the one who
no.
wrote the books.
No, the music chap.
Bat.
Bat, yes,
Mike Bat.
Fascinating story about how... the record company didn't want to know, so he used to get dressed up as a Womble and go into shopping centres to boost their popularity to the point where they ended up having chart success. And his mum actually knitted, or not knitted, she sewed all the costumes together and so on. And then they went on Top of the Pops, and apparently 24 hours before Top of the Pops started, they didn't have enough costumes, so mum had to work incredibly hard to get enough
wow.
done. And he was actually in one of the... I can't remember which Womble he was, and the record company didn't want to know.
And the other story I've heard, because they were actual well-known musicians in the costumes.
Yeah.
And one of them was a guy called Chris Spedding, that had that hit Motorbiking.
Yes.
And he also produced early Sex Pistols demos, and you know, he's played with Roxy Music, he's played with everyone. And he's a real... rock star. He was Wellington Womble, apparently. And I heard him once, and he was telling this story. There we were on Top of the Pops, and there's the audience in front of you, and there's all these young women looking up at the stage, and I'm dressed as a Womble.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do anything about it.
Street cred right there in the pan. But fascinating. If you ever get the chance to have a read or a listen to Mike Batt's book, it's brilliant. It tells you all about the Womble story. And, of course, they were massive back then. They were absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Back in, 73, 74, 75?
Must have been about then, yeah.
So when did you first... What Christmas record was number one the first time you remember, you know, the charts itself?
Oh, crumbs. The first one I can think of that I knew at Christmas, which is totally not Christmassy, is Another Brick in the Wall.
Oh, right.
Which was number one in 1979 over Christmas.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, it was right, okay.
And I remember that. I'm trying to think of any Christmas ones, because the late 70s weren't really, which is when I really started listening to stuff, they weren't really Christmassy. It was the early 70s. You had all the big hits.
Right.
The Wizard, Slade, and so on, Wombles. But I can't even think what the Christmas number ones were in the early late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, okay. I'm like an anorak. I could sort of
come on, then.
Rattle through.
Like 77.
Oh, 77. That's probably Boney M, isn't it? Mary's Boy
oh,
Child.
Yes, could be.
Yeah.
78.
That's probably Mary's Boy Child. Boney M. Back for another bite of the cherry.
I might have to look this up.
No, I'd have to. It's one or the other. I can't remember. But I'll tell you what, 1973, I've got to tell you this because you mentioned Slade, and I was trying to find out the facts just to confirm what I saw in an interview with Dave Hill. I think it was last year, and he said about the Christmas song that they were going to release. The company didn't want them to do it, and the producer didn't want them to do it, to release the song. And anyway, apparently, I think this is the story off the top of my head, they were in a studio, and I think it was Abbey Road Studios, or it might have been somewhere where one of the Beatles were going to be, they phoned, and there was something being played in the background, and they were umming and ahhing on whether to record this or play it or release it as a single. And one of the Beatles said, "That's a great Christmas song. I love that." and that's the reason why they released it. And it was, I think it was wow. Chaz Chandler. Was it Chaz? No, not Chaz. One of the, who was the producer?
Yes,
Chaz Chandler.
He was the one who was in the Animals, and then
because they said, oh no, you can't. You're a glam rock band. You can't do Christmas songs. So that very nearly that song that's been played since 1973, so many times, has been number one a few times. Must have made Noddy Older loads and loads of money, and the rest of the band.
I bet,
that
yeah.
very nearly didn't come about, all because they thought that, you know, Slade was a rock band, and they were, you know, that was weird. They were a bit, that's a bit soppy doing a Christmas song.
Yeah.
And one of the Beatles said, "Hey, I like that." Whoever it was,
I didn't know they were Welsh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Didn't you know that?
I'm just going to correct you, because you're 1977-78. You're spot on with 1978.
What, Mary's Boy Child?
Mary's Boy Child. But how could we have forgotten 1977? Everyone was sick of it by middle of January.
Oh, God. No.
It was at number one for ages.
Number one for ages. It was 1977.
1977.
Well, it wouldn't have been, because Queen Bohemian Rhapsody was...
Was 75.
Was 75. So 77, everyone was fed up with it. It was number one for how many weeks, did you say?
I think it was about seven or eight weeks.
7 or 8 weeks. No, go on, you're going to have to tell me.
Dum ching ching, dum ching ching, dum ching ching. Mull of Kintyre.
Oh, really? Crikey, I'd forgotten all about
Which
that.
Sounds a bit Christmassy with the bagpipes, I suppose, but yeah.
Yeah, but what I can't understand now is that particular song, I'm pretty sure Nottingham Forest have that playing when they run out on the pitch and they sing it during the game as well. And I don't understand, because Mull of Kintyre is obviously Scottish, isn't it?
Well, like Paul McCartney is, yeah.
Yeah. So in 79, as you said, it was that was pretty straightforward, that one, wasn't it?
That was Pink Floyd.
Yeah, Pink Floyd. You already mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to have a serious thing. I know that 85 would have been the Pet Shop Boys, Always on My Mind, Band-Aid 85.
No, not according. I've pulled a list up.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you're failing on this one. Let's go back to 1980.
1980. Go on.
There's no one quite like Grandma.
No, really? The St. Winifred
Well,
School
This is
Choir.
According to Wikipedia. So are we allowed to say Wikipedia on it?
Yes, we can say Wikipedia.
Right, okay. So, yeah, apparently no one quite like Grandma. I thought it was John Lennon, actually.
Yes, of course, imagine.
We
were just talking about that out with the youngsters of St. George's, because it's coming up to the anniversary, isn't it? 45 years.
It must be.
A few days.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would have thought it would have been a John Lennon track, maybe Starting Over or Imagine, and it wasn't.
No.
See, I disagree with that. I think Wikipedia's a bit out of...
All right, well, let's move.
Go on, move on.
1981. Not Christmassy.
Wasn't it?
No.
Oh, I was going to say Bucks Fizz.
No. Bucks Fizz?
Yeah, that Bucks Fizz with the stars in your eyes, little one, where do you go to dream?
I've got to have a look at your record collection one day.
I like a bit of Bucks Fizz. Yeah, I do.
Human League.
Don't You Want Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember on Top of the Pops when they're spraying each other with silly string?
No, I don't.
You sort of thought, maybe they're miming.
Wow, yeah, just a little bit. 1982 then. 1982, Christmas number one. Oh, crikey. I'm just trying to think, where was I? I'll tell you where I was for a Christmas do. I was going to call it something else. The second word was up, but we don't do that anymore. I was working along here in a boatyard, and we went for our Christmas do up, and it was at the Railway Medina. Mm-hmm. You've got to be well hard to drink in there, I can tell you. And so 1982, I'm just trying to think. I know that was the year of its first release of Fairy Tale of New York, which didn't even make the top 30 in that year, which I was amazed at. So 1982, again, was it a Christmas song?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Possibly one of the worst number ones ever.
Oh, is this something that's linked to our very own council leader?
It could be.
Did he play bass on it?
Guitar, I think.
Guitar. Same sort of thing, isn't it? Yes. So
he was in his band on...
René
and Renato.
Save your love, my darling, save your love. Ding, 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 ding. On guitar.
discreetly in the background, I think, yeah.
Hey, look, we better take a break, but we'll come back with the rest of those years. And we've also got some classics to do as well. Chris Hill, you can't have a Christmas show, you know, like this without mentioning Chris Hill and what he did in the 1970s. You're thinking, what did he do?
I'm thinking, who is he?
Oh, wow. I'll tell you what, you stick around, you're going to find out. We're coming back. It's only Andy Williams, and it's the most wonderful time of the year. You chose that because it is a great song, isn't
it? Oh, it's wonderful. All those old 50s crooners, you know, Perry Como, Dean Martin, you've got to have those at Christmas.
But I bet you, did you ever buy them on vinyl?
I have got a couple on vinyl, but it tends to be on compilation things rather than, you know, going out and getting the original single or whatever.
See, the only reason I would have had something like that is in my collection is that somebody left it to you, like, you know, one of my many stepfathers. You know, that's the only reason.
Well, in the record shop in AAA, we have got some interesting albums by various people. You know, you've got your Bing Crosby and your Andy Williams, but most people have done a Christmas album at some time.
Yeah.
Quite a good John Denver one we came across. But I think the one that's sitting at the back of the rack at the moment that I don't think is... Well, if anyone's listening and they want it, it's dirt cheap. Donna Stell's Christmas album.
Oh, my God, really? He of Whispering Grass fame.
He of Whispering Grass, yes.
Good grief.
Sitting Donna on the cover Stell. Holding a little Christmas tincture and looking lovingly at his Christmas cards.
What's the betting that's still there come next year?
About the same as last year.
That's how long it's been there. When did that come out?
Oh, crumbs, looking at it, it must be early 80s, I think.
Early 80s, well, how much is it?
£2.
Is that all it is? £2. There must be a Donna Stell fan out there that can go and purchase that for £2. Or someone you might not like, get them for Christmas.
We've got quite a few like that, actually, yeah.
I would imagine there's a lot of people out there that have, you know, collecting the vinyl. And how nice would it be to say, hey, look, I bet you ain't got this. Donna Stell, it's not even his greatest hits because he only had one. Look, lots of people are getting in touch, but this one stood out for me. It was Laura Peasy Wilcox. She said, I've just looked up the last 30 years of Christmas songs. Wow, oh my God. And I'm thinking, I would have probably looked at that and thought, I don't recognise any of the last 30 years, but no. The 30 years before that, going back to 19...
You were doing reasonably well, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, we tried a few more when that was Andy Williams was playing.
We got to
you're spot on with the 80s.
84, yeah. I remember the because we did B-sides last time. The B-side of Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas Time, had all the messages from all of the people that that's turned right. up to sing. And that's why I know now, because it really infuriates me. Now, you're a big Bowie fan, and you'll lead on to another Bowie story in a moment, but it really irritates me when people call him Bowie, because it's not Bowie, it's not Bowie, it's Bowie, and he actually says it. Hello, this is David Bowie. It's Christmas.
This is David Bowie.
It's Christmas, 1984, and people are starving. We ought to do something about it. And I play that clip to people, and they still call him Bowie. It irritates. But anyway, you got a David Bowie.
Calm down.
calm down.
Well, of course, he had a Christmas hit. Didn't mean to. Because he was on Bing Crosby's Christmas special in 1977, and allegedly Bing Crosby had no idea who he was, but it was filmed in the UK. If you read into it, apparently Bowie turned up to do this thing because he was promoting the Heroes album, which doesn't quite fit with Bing Crosby. He turned up to do this thing. They said, well, we're going to do Little Drummer Boy. Oh, no, I hate that one. And so, you know, in the song where Bing Crosby's doing the ba-ra-ba-bum-bum and David Bowie starts singing this alternate melody,
yeah.
Peace on Earth, Goodwill. Apparently that was written to placate him in about an hour before the recording, because he said, I don't like Little Drummer Boy, it doesn't suit my voice. So they rushed off to a piano and came up with this thing. So, and good credit to him, he learned it quickly. And that's why there's that sort of two songs in one version.
Oh wow!
Just so he'd do it,
and that was all to appease him because he was like, you know, having a bit of a grump. Because
apparently, yeah,
yeah.
And the music tape was erased after the show because it was recorded in your full 16-track, whatever's state of the art then. And then his record company, he was having a bit of trouble with them in the early 80s, and they dug it out, got up basically the tape off the TV recording and put it out as a single, and it became a hit. And he was absolutely livid, apparently, and that's one of the reasons he left the record company.
Oh,
left
wow.
RCA and joined EMI, partly because he was absolutely fuming about them putting that out.
Typically RCA, was. He was, he was very RCA about it. I didn't know that. Now, am I right in thinking that it would have been about 1981?
82, I think they put it out.
And would that have been when Bing Crosby died? Was it a tribute?
Well, actually, there's a bit of a curse thing over the Bowie in 1977, because not long before he recorded that, he also recorded, sometimes you can find it on YouTube, that Mark Bolan had a TV show.
Right.
And Bowie went on as a guest. It was a children's tea time thing. And within a month of that, Mark Bolan died. And within about 2 weeks of recording Little Drummer Boy, Bing Crosby died.
Right.
So that's Christmassy, isn't it?
Very, very Christmassy. Very, yeah.
Don't record with David Bowie in 1977.
No.
Well, you can't now anyway. But
I don't even want to talk about him now, to be quite honest, just in case. So look, Christmas songs is what we're doing. And I would imagine we both lose our way in the 1990s. So what's left of the 1980s? So 85 would have been Shakin' Stevens, Merry Christmas Everyone. 86, I've got no clue. But the following year was the Pet Shop Boys, and You Were Always on My Mind. So what was in between? What was 86?
Again, nothing Christmassy. Reet Petite.
Oh, right, okay. Because that was a plasticine.
With the plasticine. Yeah. That was because of the video, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's the reason it was successful. And then 88.
Yeah. 88.
You've got to get this one.
It's too early.
Who do you associate with Christmas?
Oh, it's got to be Cliff, hasn't it? It's got to be Mistletoe and Wine. And didn't he come back and have another stab at it later on with Saviour's Day?
Another stab and nearly killed it.
That's Mistletoe and Wine. That's that was going to be on in this hour, but strangely enough, we've replaced it with something special later towards the end of the show.
Very special.
He did do Saviour's Day, didn't he?
He did, yes.
And was that number one a year later?
I don't think that one got to number one, did it?
Didn't it?
People had learnt their lesson. But, I think it all started going downhill then, because, by 1993, you've got Mr. Blobby.
Yeah.
And Bob the Builder was around then as well, wasn't it?
Yes, and 94 would have been East 17.
Yes.
Stay Another Day.
Yes, which was a glimmer in the mire, I think.
And I think I bought that on vinyl.
Good grief.
Yeah. I was still
buying vinyl in the 90s.
I still had quite a good CD collection, but because you were going out and doing the gigs, you had a half and half kind of collection. So it was very difficult, you know, because if the song came out back then, if the song came out and you needed to play it, you'd have had to buy it and not wait for the now thing on CD to come out. So that you had to go out and buy the 7-inch single. Which was, there was a dance version of that as well that came out. It was brilliant. Absolutely loved it. But,
Which one? Not Mr. Blobby.
Not Mr. Blobby. I actually bought that on vinyl, but I don't think I've got it now. I think someone else has got that now. And hey, look.
Do they know they've got it? Did you just leave, slip it down the sofa?
Yes. So should we play something that is wonderful?
I think so.
And we'll put a smile on your face as well.
I hope it puts a smile on people's faces.
Because that's what it's all about.
It might be a knock on the door as well. But
we're going back to 1974, because that's what it says here. And on side one, it would have been side one, which would have been the Christmas side. But on the other side, I'm pretty sure, was because it was double A, it was the in-betweenies. So a bit like the Wham thing with Last Christmas, you know, you had the Christmas song for the Christmas time, and then as soon as Christmas is done and dusted, the other side Everything That She Wants.
Yeah.
And so this is, we don't play this often. Not even at Christmas time, not really. But anyway, enjoy one of the greatest funniest songs ever at Christmas time. It's the Goodies.
At 12 o'clock on Christmas Eve.
Happy fun.
I know what's happening here. It's bending.
Hey, what now? What's happening?
Oi, you fasty red hoop.
Another one of those songs that if you've got a 7-inch single, it would go round. This would carry on for the until you took it off.
If you're going to lose your license, do it in style with those two.
We did that one that was Chris Hill, Rent-A-Santa. He did a Bionic Santa a year later, although one was a year later. And
that was the history of the 70s in 3 minutes, really, wasn't it?
Do you know what? Do you know what I was most nervous about listening to that?
No.
I hope he's not on it. I hope the bloke that we can't mention is not on it.
Oh, crumbs. Yeah. What do you mean, the?
Yeah, when you listen back to those now, you think, crikey, yeah, I haven't listened to this for a while. Is there anybody that's been named and shamed and so on? But no, sadly, we were okay with
we
that.
We were okay.
We were okay. But
just, I don't know what the beep was. I don't remember what...
Someone, it was Rod Stewart swearing, wasn't it? Or do you know what that reminded me of? Do you remember a guy called Adrian Just?
Yeah.
He used to Saturday lunchtime.
He was wonderful.
And he would clip things together like that. Steptoe and some bits and bobs and comedy programmes.
One of my favourites, yes. But,
genius.
But that was in the 70s. You bought the record and it was bleeped. It wasn't that someone bleeped it for you when it was broadcast. You bought a record and it had a bleep.
They had the decency to bleep it themselves.
Yeah.
All right, how are we doing on the number ones? Which is your favourite number one of all time Christmas song?
Number one Christmas song? Oh, crumbs, I don't know. Yes, I do. Because of the video, the Top of the Pops performance. Lonely This Christmas.
Mud.
My advice to anyone, bring up the Top of the Pops clip of that when it was number one, because he does it with Ventriloquist Dummy. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Oh, come on. It is a fantastic
I'm going to watch
clip.
It, though.
He's got the ventriloquist, because there's that sort of Elvis-type...
You know, darling, without ventriloquist.
Yeah. And he's got the dummy doing it, and the snow's falling, and then when they do the big reveal, I'm sure people have seen this, it's not a spoiler, they've got their road crew standing on top of ladders, just pouring the snow on them.
All right, I've got to watch that. What year was
74,
that?
74, I think.
I thought it was 74. But didn't he say... At the end of it, on Top of the Pops, didn't he say, Merry Christmas, darling? Elvis. Merry Christmas, Elvis, wherever you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that memory. I'm going to have a look at that.
If Kate Bush had got to number one, I'd say Kate Bush, but she didn't. So.
No number ones for Kate Bush, ever.
Wuthering Heights, dear heart.
Yes, Wuthering Heights, yes. And last year she had Running Up That Hill, wasn't it? That was
yes,
the one.
But we don't understand the modern world, so we've forgotten about that.
No, young people thought we've discovered Kate Bush. Yeah.
Who had the most Christmas number ones? Who's had the most Christmas number ones?
Probably X Factor, isn't it?
Well, no, single artist.
Single artist, most number ones. Got to be Cliff, isn't it?
No, you'd think it was the Beatles for a long time.
Really?
Although no Christmas songs. It was, I Want to Hold Your Hand, I feel Fine, Day Tripper, Hello, Goodbye. They had the Christmas number one throughout the 60s, but they never did a Christmas song.
But who, I mean, they've even been surpassed by number ones, but not obviously at Christmas time. But I would imagine they had their fair share of Christmas number ones.
Lad Baby.
Lad Baby.
Have had 5 Christmas number ones.
Good grief.
Mostly to do with sausage rolls.
Yeah, how on earth did that happen? But I would imagine the only reason they did that
I'm
is because...
I'm saying that so Laura, if Laura's listening in, she can maybe just think on what she said.
But I would imagine we're of the age now where we don't take notice of what was number one Christmas last year unless it meant anything to you.
The charts don't mean anything these days.
But they used to.
The world's, they used to.
But they don't anymore. So the last 30 years, no one really remembers, no one really cares. And sadly...
Sitting by your radio at 5 o'clock on Sunday when Tony Blackburn or Tommy Vance or... Oh, what was the one bit of...
Fluff Freeman.
Yeah, and Tom Brown, was it?
Tom Brown, that was the one I remember.
Yeah. And then with your finger on the play and record button.
Oh, I used to leave those bits in. My brother used to edit those bits out. I used to leave those bits in. I thought they were interesting. But it was great times.
That was Sunday evening. It's the high point of Sundays.
Now, we should point out that you're here representing AAA Records. Is there...
I did try and cram a quick mention in a little earlier, yeah, but then we got talking about Don Estelle, so that didn't really work.
So is it, I mean, people are still... I'm trying to skate over that. People are still, buying, vinyl presents. But if you're stuck for something, what have you got? What can you recommend?
Oh, crumbs. Well, a record player is a good start. We are doing a few second-hand record players now, but we've got a very wide selection of vinyls from new. So if you want Wolf Alice, Chapel Roan, whatever, right through to we've got the old Elvis. We've got a few copies of the old Elvis Christmas album. I haven't mentioned Elvis at all, and he did loads of Christmas stuff.
Yeah, Silver Bells.
Pop it.
Thank you.
Just pop in and if you can play vinyl or even cassettes, CDs, we've got stacks of stuff, and just come and have a mooch. We're serving coffee now on Fridays and Saturdays.
All right, nice. Yeah. All right, okay. So, what sort of coffee? Is it instant or proper stuff?
It's proper stuff.
Proper
it's
stuff.
Proper stuff. Peach Cafe, if you remember them. They've relocated. We've got them in store now. And
how fantastic.
They will be refreshing you while you wander the racks and try and find something.
Brilliant. So you can get yourself a record player in there and you can get yourself some records as well. Can I sell my records in there?
You
if
can.
If I brought them in.
Where do you think we get them from?
If I brought that old Squeeze record in, how much are you going to give me for that? White vinyl, only one owner, not played often.
We might trade it in for something. We've got a bit of Mantovani we're trying to get rid of.
I'll tell you what, I'll swap it for the Don Estelle one.
You're on.
And a coffee.
I think that's a fair deal.
Lots and lots of Christmas tunes. We'll be doing this again next year, and we'll ban all the songs that we've played on this particular show. So we've got
people will probably be quite pleased about that, I should think.
So look, I'm going to give you the choice. You can either have Frank Kelly or let me see now. It's hang on. Have we just? Oh no, it was Baron Knights or Frank Kelly.
Well, the Frank Kelly one, I think it'll go on a bit too long, won't it? People should listen to that one because it's a fantastic record. But Baron Knights, this is one of those ones I think people don't remember. And it's Christmassy. And, yeah, let's have Baron Knights.
Have a great Christmas and thanks for coming in.
Merry Christmas from AAA Records.